In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers, on this Feast of Palm Sunday. And March 14th seems like a long time ago, but now we have actually completed the 40 days of the fast, so congratulations. And today we stand at the threshold of Holy Week and then Pascha, which is really the pinnacle of our whole liturgical year. And in one sense, the events of Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem are kind of, you could say, on a historic and even prophetic nature. One of the Old Testament readings that was also referenced in the Gospel that's appointed to be read at the Vesper service for Palm Sunday is from Zechariah chapter 9, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." So while the prophets foretold the coming of the Messiah as one who would bear our sins and suffer for us, and though he was innocent, would be condemned to death, the Jews nevertheless thought that Christ would come in worldly glory, that the Messiah would come in worldly glory and would be the earthly king over the Jewish people, much like, you know, King Saul and King David and King Solomon and, you know, all the times in the Old Testament when, through God's power, the enemies of Israel were conquered. And so it was, you know, somewhat understandable that they thought, okay, well, then when the Messiah comes, you know, he's going to really, by God's power, going to raise up some big army, and he's going to drive the Romans out of here, and we're going to have our temple and our kingdom back. But, of course, we might wonder, well, how could these Jews misunderstand their own prophets? I mean, they read these books constantly, you know, and but yet they still didn't get it, even though it said very clearly, Isaiah and many of the other prophets talked about how Christ was not going to be that kind of earthly king, that he was going to be this meek and lowly king whose kingdom is not of this world, riding in on a donkey. You know, a donkey is not an animal that is a very noble, you know, animal in the sense of, you know, horses. You know, a mighty white horse would be used by a soldier in the army, you know, to ride off into battle, you know, and all that. So a donkey was just a common beast of burden, you know, it was just an everyday thing. So nothing glorious there. But of course, this is truly because those Jewish people's hearts had really turned so much to worldly power and worldly glory that they missed the whole point. Well, nonetheless, Christ did conquer the whole world, just as he conquered the devil and hell and opened the way for us into paradise and overcame sin and death by rising from the dead. And so it's good and right that we should sing praises and sing Hosanna today, just as the people did on that first triumphant entry into Jerusalem so long ago. However, many today have forgotten about the kingdom of heaven and how Christ reigns in triumph there and how this world is not our true home. And this is because they think along those same lines as those Jewish people back in those times who wanted that earthly kingdom. And in St. Luke's account of the triumphant entry into Jerusalem in chapter 19, Jesus wept when he drew near to Jerusalem and said, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And of course, we now know historically that Jesus was foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD. And this was because the Jews, having rejected their true Messiah, now tried to kind of, you know, take matters into their own hands and raise a revolt in order to try and throw off the Roman yoke. But, you know, they failed miserably in that attempt. And the Romans responded by completely destroying Jerusalem and the temple, killing over 1 million Jews, and of course not even leaving one stone on another. It's very interesting to note, Archbishop Averke mentions that this very spot that Jesus was standing on, the Mount of Olives, as he looked down on the city of Jerusalem on this day, that same spot that he was standing on, that's where Titus, you know, set up his base to, you know, sack the city of Jerusalem. You know, so 7 years later, almost on the very day, it was right around a little bit after Passover, actually. So those things were really fulfilled. But there's also a spiritual meaning to this great feast, because before the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead as a demonstration of his coming victory over death by his resurrection. And then, as it says in today's gospel, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus attended a supper with the newly resurrected Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha and the disciples. And it was at this supper that Mary anointed Jesus with this very costly oil, which, as Judas noted, could have been sold for 300 denarii, or pence, as it says. Now remember, a denarii was the equivalent of one day's wages, you know, for a common laborer. So if you did the calculations in today's currency, just at minimum wage, this little vial of ointment would have been something in the neighborhood of around $17,000. So, pretty incredible sacrifice that Mary made. But, of course, Jesus says, "Let her alone, she has kept this for the day of my burial." And so this sacrifice Mary made was really out of her love for Christ. And so just as Lazarus is an image of our spiritual resurrection, in which Christ raises our souls from spiritual death, so Mary's anointing of Christ with this expensive fragrant oil is like a prefiguring of the holy myrrh bearers who came to Christ's tomb after his resurrection. Well, the holy fathers have taught us that the fragrant spices and oils are an image of the virtues that we are called to acquire and then offer to service in Christ. Well, the gospel accounts say that the people also laid down palms and branches and garments on the way that Christ was coming. And these have symbolic meaning. The palm branches symbolize victory, and the other leafy branches were most likely olive branches, which symbolize peace. And the garments that they laid down, and also the disciples put their garments on the donkey, those really symbolize our worldly possessions. So, in other words, the meaning for us is that whatever victories that we've achieved with Christ's help, whatever peace that we have achieved with God's help, and whatever worldly resources we have been blessed with, let us lay down these before Christ that he may use them as he sees fit. So, brothers and sisters, on this joyful day of Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, let us praise him and let us make a true sacrifice of love to Christ by submitting our lives in service to Christ. And let us finish our course in this coming Holy Week by participating in as many of the church services as possible. And let us cleanse our souls through confessing our sins, that we may be truly found worthy to be raised from this fallen world into his glorious resurrection on Pascha. Glory be to our God.